Grade 6 Online Conference, Lecture 1, The Fourfold Human Being. Now, some of what I describe here is of an elementary nature for those who feel themselves familiar with Rudolf Steiner's picture of the human being, or individuals who, like many of you, have had a foundation year at a teacher training institute. However, I would still urge you to listen to this. Some of it may be presented in a different way, and all of it is meant to be a foundation for what I will describe subsequently as the specific development of the sixth grader. I also urge you to look at the two dynamic diagrams that I've included in the contents. One of them is on the 9 to 10 year change, and the other is specifically about puberty and adolescence. And they're dynamic diagrams because even though what I'm going to describe will be fairly schematic in nature, nonetheless, we have to recognize that all of this is in ceaseless movement. It'd be like saying, you know, a wave is coming in and one just imagines this wave to come in and stay. By no means. It's movement within is movement. It's movement out is movement. There are all kinds of eddies and flows and little divergences from the main movement. So take that, keep that in mind as I speak about this fourfold quality. So the fourfoldness, going back to Anthroposophy 101, it's the physical body, which is what we are born with, which is tangible, is visible. The etheric body, with which we are also born, which is invisible, but which throughout the course of our childhood increasingly tries to find itself at one with the physical body. It's like a sculptor who works with the wet clay of the emerging physicality of the child and forms it in such a way that it is an instrument for destiny. But now we have to imagine the sculptor, let's say, creating, like Pygmalion, a beautiful sculpture, falling in love with it and not bringing it to life, it's already alive, but rather uniting himself with it, climbing into the sculpture that he has created. That would be more accurate. And this climbing in period is especially between the ages of 10 and 12. So here we're already getting closer to our sixth grade picture. Those of you who took the grade 5 conference online will remember the description I gave of the way in which, by the middle of fifth grade, most children, I could say most normal, relatively healthy children, they reach a point where the etheric body is more united with the physical body, 95-99% united, than it will ever again be, than it has been before, than it ever will be again in life. And that the rest of our life is the etheric body slowly but surely pulling away from the physical body. And when it completes this pulling away, then we die. That is at least the course of a normal death by aging or a long-term illness. Other kinds of death are not perhaps quite so harmonious. So that's the etheric body. Just to review what many of you already know, it is anabolic in nature. That is, it has to do with the building up of forces in the human being. It likes human beings to be asleep. When we are asleep, our etheric body awakens. That is when it is most active. This is why in your classroom, perhaps for you as a busy Waldorf teacher, in your own life, and certainly in the life of most Americans, adults and children, sleep deprivation is a very serious, serious issue. In fact, if you read the horrendous reports of the U.S. methods of interrogation / torture of accused terrorists, they generally find that solitary confinement and sleep deprivation are far more effective methods of getting people to talk. Whether they speak the truth or not is another issue, but getting them to talk, breaking them down, that's the best way. Deprive people of sleep, and you've got them in your hands. So the etheric body needs us to sleep, and above all, when it's so active, when it's trying to find its way into the child's physicality, even as it's forming that physicality, the etheric body needs us to help that child to have a good life of sleep. One of the things that Steiner said about the Waldorf teacher is he's trying to help the child learn to sleep. So this is the etheric body's work. Anabolism, building up and perpetuating us as sleeping beings. We don't want to sleep too much because then only the etheric body dominates our nature, and that isn't good either, but we'll go on to that in a moment. Another aspect of the etheric body is it has to do with our health, our well-being. It's the maintenance system within us. In 1982, it was identified by scientists who, of course, didn't know or wouldn't acknowledge they were speaking about an intangible part of our nature. It was acknowledged, spoken of as the human immune system. We could say these are basically interchangeable terms, though, of course, the etheric body is a much richer concept than simply the immune system. Another way of looking at it, an older way of looking at it in the past, was to call the etheric body the guardian angel. The guardian angel and the etheric body in a healthy child are the same thing. In a child who is not healthy, they are different because the guardian angel cannot find her way into the child's etheric body. Something is resisting it. The etheric body isn't strong enough, isn't full enough in its fabric to accept that spiritual being's presence. But for a normal, healthy child, the guardian angel is present in the etheric body. So it's the part that guards us. It looks after us. How different to call it the guardian angel than calling it the immune system. And what's happening in our time? Why wasn't in 1982 that the immune system was first identified? Because it wasn't working. Because at that time, Legionnaire's disease, very soon AIDS, mad cow disease later on, a growing number of modern illnesses seem, as far as we know, for the first time in human history, seem to be defying the force, the capacity of the etheric body to assert itself, to maintain its own nature. And another aspect of the etheric body is that as its work is completed in building up our physical body, it gives itself over to other tasks. It doesn't go away, but working from within, it manifests what went on in the physical realm now in another direction. And most importantly is the etheric body's ability to metamorphose its forces into memory capacities. Something else that Rudolf Steiner stressed to class teachers, you are helping the children to strengthen their forces of memory. All that recitation, all that singing, all that movement, all those reviews day after day after day, the mental arithmetic, and so on and so forth, all of this is connected with building up the memory forces. That is to say, giving the etheric body something else to do so it stays interested in the human being. Human health and memory are deeply and profoundly connected. And if we feel, I don't have to remember that because I can just look it up on my smartphone or on my computer, true, definitely. But this is not necessarily going to make us healthier and stronger human beings. It certainly isn't going to help the children if they feel. We don't have to remember that. We can look it up. It's there. I can ask Siri or whomever one would ask these days. So very important for us to see the two. As a co-worker at the fellowship community many years ago, I witnessed, this is a retirement community with anthroposophical medicine used, I experienced there people who were having early onset of Alzheimer's, and two things were inextricably wedded. Once the Alzheimer's began to set in, once they were losing their short-term memory capacities, so their health started to suffer. And it wasn't just because they couldn't take care of themselves. Other people were looking after their health. But the two were connected. Which brings us to another aspect of the etheric body. On a deeper level, it also maintains our life of habit. Now, this is a little bit beyond the capacities and responsibilities of the class teacher, because here we really have what the kindergarten teacher is meant to do and the way in which she will work with the children to develop their forces of habit. But here again, whatever we can do to sort of metamorphose the forces of hanging your coat up on the right hook and saying please and thank you and setting a table, all of these important habits. Now we are trying, are we not, according to our parents, to teach the children study habits. And the two, again, are very connected. This is also etheric activity. So we see the centrality of the etheric body, even though, as I mentioned in the Grade 5 conference, it is pulling into the physical body. It is starting to offer up a place to the still higher body, the astral body, but the etheric body has not disappeared, and we are still trying to work with it. However, the big difference is up until the middle of grade 5 approximately, we can still work pretty directly, to some degree directly, with the etheric body. In sixth grade, we cannot, we should not, we must not. Now we have to work with the body above it, the astral body. We'll hear about this in the next lecture segment.